In the book of Ruth today, book of Ruth, chapter number 1. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. He's been good to you. Say amen today. I'm going to preach this morning something that is raised in my heart a couple hours ago. And I've not got to study it the way I lack in preaching. We dealt last week with the book of Ruth, chapter 1, on their famine. They found themselves in a funeral. This Sunday, I wanted to deal with chapter 2 in the field. Brother Mike, I spent some time getting this message together that I don't get to preach this morning. But I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to mind the Lord. Amen. Ruth chapter number 1. I want to start reading in verse 19. Got four little faults about this, and then I'll be done preaching today. Glad we've got a God that can help us this morning. The Bible says, Ruth 1:19, so they too went. Who? Naomi and Ruth. They went till they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass, and when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they proposed this question. Is this Naomi? She had lived with them a long time, but she had left them. She didn't mean to leave them, but her husband Amalek let her out. Let her down into Moab. Some choices that she didn't make has come down to where she lives. She's lost her husband, lost her two boys. Even the daughter-in-laws turned their back on her, but one turned and clave to her. Her name is Ruth. She reached out and told Naomi, said, I want your gods. I want to live where your people lives and die where your people dies. So now they've left out of Moab and they're coming back to Bethlehem, the house of bread. You'll notice these people made a remark. The Bible said, and so they too went, they came to Bethlehem. It came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? Is this the woman that left? She said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Watch this. I went out full. Notice preaching this verse this week that I didn't get to elaborate on Sunday. But I went out full. The Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. You may be seated this morning. Thank you. Brother Jamie, pray for me this morning. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Notice, if you would, you remember last Sunday we preached on choices at the crossroads. Chapter 1, you'll notice in verse number 1 through 3, it dealt with some characters. Elimelech, he was from the house or the town of Bethlehem, Judah. Elimelech, the daddy, the husband of Naomi, his name means, "My God is King." My God is King. They gave him a name to reflect his being, his location, who they were. Elimelech, "My God is King." Naomi, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, her name means pleasantness. They had two children, Mahlon and Chilion. Mahlon means joyful song. Chilion means perfectness or perfection. So here we've got a family. The father's name means, "My God is my King." His wife Naomi, her name means pleasantness. They have two children called Song and Perfection. Now look in verse number 21 at her statement. She said, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." Now look in chapter 1, verse 1. "Came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." Now I want to ask you something. I didn't notice that till this week preaching out of this text in verse 21. It said that they went out full. They left Bethlehem, the house of bread. There was a famine came up in his life, and this man makes a decision. And we preached about the decision at those crossroads in life last week. Remember, the Bible said that within this decision, he died and his two boys died. His two boys had married two Moabite women, and her name was Orpah and Ruth. And so when things hit the bottom, Naomi turned and said, "I have nothing to offer you two." Said, "I'm too old to have any more children. If I was to marry a man tonight and have a child, would you wait for them till they were grown?" She said, "You won't do that." Said, "Go back to your people, those idol-worshipping people." And so one daughter-in-law named Orpah, she kissed Naomi, and she turned and went back to her father's house at Moab. But Ruth did something that grabbed me last Sunday. She reached out to Naomi. She said, "I want to cleave to you. I want your God to be my God, your people my people." So now they've traveled this long, hard, and bitter road. They come back to the house of bread, to the people of God. Matter of fact, they got news down in Moab that the famine was over at the house of bread, and she started back with Ruth. Aren't you glad that there's still a message of good news out in Moab, that there is bread back in Bethlehem? You're not going to gain anything in Moab, a type of the world. You're going to lose everything. But I got to thinking as I'm trying to give you this thought. Chapter 1 and 21, when she came back to them people, the first thing she said is, "I went out full." So I want to ask you today, what you have this morning around the house of bread might not seem that it's very much, but when you lose it all, it will seem like it's a lot. Now, why did Amalek, why would he leave such a location with the people of God, the songs of God, the law of God, the scriptures, and hard times come up, and all of a sudden he thought that he could do better down in Moab. I come to tell you this morning, you're not going to get any blessings in Moab. You're going to lose your blessings leaving the house of God and going into Moab. Be careful when lean times come that it takes you away from God instead of to God. He went out full. Could you imagine as he left, there was his wife and his two boys as they went out. And the Bible said they went out full. You know, the devil probably convinced him that he didn't have very much, but he had everything. You know, the devil's good at painting you a picture and make you believe falsehood. He's good at making you believe that God is not enough. But can I tell you this morning, the God of the house of bread is enough to do whatever needs to be done. And so he takes this walk to Moab. He loses his family. Now we get to the place where I want to preach. Look at this accusation. They too went. They came to Bethlehem. Naomi and Ruth. The mama and the daughter-in-law. Came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi? Is this the one that left? Is this Naomi? It don't look like her. It don't act like her. Don't sound like her." She said to them, "Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. She's went from pleasantness, but now she's went to bitterness." Isn't that something that she left out of the house of bread? She went down in Moab and her name simply meant pleasantness. But she's come back and she said, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for I am bitter." I want to say this morning, bitterness will eat you alive. Bitterness has eaten me alive. None of us are immune to bitterness. You'll notice she said, "I went out full and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." Well, I want to say, first of all, there's the complaint of bitterness. A complaint of bitterness. I pinned this down leaving the house, four things. The complaint of bitterness. I don't know why this thing rose up in me. I'm telling you, I've got a lot of hours and a good outline this morning on Route 2, but I can't go there. So listen to the man of God. She came back home bitter. Can you ever remember a time when God meant a lot to you? Can you remember a time when your life was a lot more pleasant than it is today? Her name meant pleasantness, but she said, "Don't call me that no more, for I'm not pleasant. Call me Mara." Watch this. "For the Almighty hath dealt very bitter with me." I see it's sort of a blame going on there. God Almighty has done this, and you know what? I want to say she's half right. Because the choice that her husband made took her into a place that she didn't want to go. But because she left the house of bread, then God's wrath fell across that whole country. And there was a process that happened. She lost her husband and her two children. I don't want to belittle this lady. You know, the older I get as being a pastor, I preach for several young men and older men. And I've told them, "You know something, my message and my mannerisms have changed the older I've got. I'm not going to throw this lady under the bus. This lady's been through some hard things in her life. And as she come back down there, the people she know, they sort of lashed out at her and said, 'Is this Naomi, the one that left? Is this really Naomi?'" She said, "No, it's not Naomi, but I wished it was. I wished it was Naomi. always showing back up. A time when I was so pleasant and things were going so good, but now my name is called bitterness. You know, a lot of people, me and Brother Mike was talking this morning about depression. A lot of people think real light of depression though you've had it. And you think, well, just pick on up and move on and you can get better. But what happens when you can't pick up and move on? What happens when you're in a situation that you don't want to be in and you wish and you prayed unto God that it was Naomi that come back, but now you're Mara. It means bitterness. I want to be better, but I can't get better because of what you've done. I want to say something. For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God. I don't understand everything that God allows, but I do know that God is sovereign. And God is kind and God is compassionate and He makes no mistakes in the pathway of life. This morning, she wanted to be Naomi. Now she was bitter. I've seen a lot of preachers hurt in ministry. Brother Phillip's a young pastor here of this family, Miss Casey and the boys today. Brother Phillips had some hard things thrown at him at ministry. And Brother Phillip, the things that I've had to experience in my life, at my job, I don't want to get bitter. I've always purposed in my heart, I'm not going to get bitter, but I want to get better. And first of all, you've got to agree with yourself that I'm not who I used to be. And I'm not who God called me to be, but now I've turned into something else and it's not good. So we pick her up. They went out full. She come back bitter. There's the complaint of bitterness. And I want to say it is something to complain about. When bitterness has us, that is a bad, bad situation. The consequences of bitterness, but secondly, the cause of bitterness. Why did she get bitter? Well, first of all, because of a path she had to walk. Be careful, child of God. For the Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Be careful in the pathways of life that you don't get bitter. Problems can make you bitter. I pastor people that used to have nearly everything and now they hardly have anything. Don't get bitter. Some of you, you've buried children. You've buried mamas and daddies. You've buried husbands and wives. Don't get bitter. Some of you people, as no doubt, there's probably some of you, you've been molested in life. People's taken advantage of you. People has done you wrong. And I want to tell you something. As long as you deal with people, you're going to deal with people that will do you wrong. But I come to tell you about somebody this morning that will never do you wrong. For He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He makes no mistakes this morning. The cause. I want to ask y'all something. Let's don't belittle this. Let's don't say she's got an issue because it's a real deal. What if you had lost your husband? And then what if your son had died? And then that's not the end of it. What if your next child had died? And now everything around you, there's nothing to eat. It's totally gone. She left out full. And I want to say something. It really wasn't her fault because she was submitting to her husband. Her husband led her out to that place. And husbands, we better be careful where we lead our families this morning. He went out full. How many people have I pastored that's went out full? And you see them now, that now they're empty. And most of them not even coming home again. It's a real deal. It's a real sermon. The cause of our bitterness. What has caused you to be bitter? I don't belittle that. I've experienced it. I can tell you this, though. I found this out in my life. In the cause of bitterness, when we get into bitterness and resentment, resentment is like taking poison and waiting on the other person to die. Bitterness. Her name was Naomi, but can I labor on this point about done preaching? She really wished she was who she used to be. She wished she had that kind of spirit about her. But she's hit some very hard times. Everything that she's ever known or loved has died and left her. So there's the complaint of bitterness. The cause of bitterness. And then look at the cost of bitterness. This is one thing about bitterness I've noticed about me. You might not know that you're bitter, but other people know you are. They said, "Is this Naomi?" But she knew she was bitter. Not only did other people see it, but she recognized it. She said, "Yeah, I'm not Naomi, I'm Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me." I had a situation one time. One night this week, the Lord let me bring it up in preaching in the meeting. Brother Mike's very familiar with it. It devastated me. Really more than it did Renee. But it devastated me. I had entrusted somebody with something. They were not who they said they were. And I pretty much come back empty. I noticed hatred raised up in my heart. I noticed that feelings mounted up in me that I didn't want to have. And I found myself wanting to get even. But I've noticed every time when I'm throwing rocks, I'm losing ground. It was a process that God taught me. I'd preached on bitterness. Most of you know my type of preaching. I try to give you a Bible sermon and end positive. But I'm going to tell you, I walked through a place with the Lord that I'd become pretty much bitter. And then if you're not careful, not only things, you will allow people. You allow people where you'll become bitter with them. We see the complaint of bitterness. And I can't go in chapter 2, but next Sunday I will, the Lord willing. She got some help for her bitterness. You know how she got it? She got it from somebody else that met Boaz that reminded her how good he was. Thirdly, this morning, the complaint of bitterness, the cause of bitterness, but what about the cost of bitterness? What does bitterness cost people? I ran into a man a few years ago. You wouldn't believe what he said. It would astound you what he said. Then I got to thinking about it. He's so bitter. See, when you're bitter, nobody's right. But I wonder this morning, is there anybody who would like to go from bitter to better? I don't belittle your circumstance. I've seen families in this church fall on their face and weep. I've seen you in the good times and the hard times. now I want to close this with the cure for bitterness. How do I get better? How do I become Naomi again? How do I become who God really intends me to be? Turn with me in the book of Exodus, and I'm done preaching. Chapter 15. Verse 22. He said, I went out full, but I've come home bitter. Everybody around her knew what she'd... They really didn't know what she'd experienced, but they just knew she was bitter. But can I tell you, God knows what has happened in our life. Now here it is, picks up. Remember Moses, the children of Israel, he's leading them. He said in Exodus 15, 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out in the wilderness of Shur, and they went out 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They came to, here's a word, Marah. They could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Sheriff, you come this morning, please. When he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, keep all his statutes, I'll put none of these diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. The cure. The complaint. The cause. The cost. I tell you one cost. It took her out of service into a place she didn't want to be. But the cure. They came to this water and they wanted to drink of it, but they couldn't drink of it because it was bitter. And the Lord showed Moses what to do. And it still works in this day and this hour. Cut down a tree. Cast it in the waters and it's made sweet. You know what will get you from bitter to better? It's when you look at Calvary and say, dear God, you drank the bitter cup for me. You did things for me that nobody else would do. And when I really get to looking at Calvary, and I get to looking out of myself, and I get to looking up to where my help comes from, the Bible said the waters were made sweet. I wouldn't want you to belittle my situation. And I'll promise you I'll try not to belittle yours. But I want to say something that the book of Ephesians has to say in the New Testament. He said, let all bitterness be taken away from you. Well, didn't he know that we were human and we could get bitter? Oh, he sure does. But he said, don't let it consume you. Some of you may have lost your job, lost a loved one. A situation didn't work out the way that you wanted it to. Wouldn't it be good if you were Naomi again? Wouldn't it be a blessing when people seen you? They said, that's not Mara, it's Naomi. She's put her eyes on Boaz. She's out in the fields now, eating like she's never eaten before. You know, when God sends me something like this that I know I've got to do more than life. Maybe this message is to me this morning. I don't want to get bitter. I want to get better. Brother Tim, I want to be the preacher God's called me to be. In spite of the circumstances that I've been dealt, I want to be good to people and tell them the truth and love my Lord. Raise my hands toward Him every chance that I get and say, hallelujah to the Lamb of glory. And God, no, I wouldn't have picked this for me, but You did. And I know that You're God enough to see me through it. Miss Sherry Play, open this altar this morning. Would you come this morning?